There was a famous artist who would spend countless hours standing in front of the canvas. He would often stand there for so long that he would begin to lose focus on the colors that were on the canvas. And if he continued to stand there, the whole canvas would just become a blur to him. But whenever this happened, this artist had some very precious jewels, very bright, multicolored jewels. And whenever he lost focus on the canvas, he would focus on looking at those precious jewels. And as he looked at them, they would enable him to regain focus and to restore his perception of the canvas. As Christians, it is a very, very easy thing for us to lose focus for the reason that we are here. And not only is it very easy for us to lose focus about the true meaning of life, but after a while, it all just becomes a blur to us. Why am I here? What am I doing? What is the Christian life? What is this really all about? And whenever that happens to us, we need to keep constantly going back to the precious jewels of God's word in order that we may refocus, in order that we may restore our perception of why we're here on this earth. In the month of January, our theme is remember. And as we make our journey through the new year 2025, there are some things that we need to remember daily. And so this month, those are the things that I'm talking about. Things that every single day this year that we need to stop, even if it's for a moment, that we need to stop and we need to give pause to. This morning, what we're talking about is this. We need to remember to focus on the Word. We need to remember to focus on the Word. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In Psalm 119 and in verse 89, the psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul said that all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is of God. And it's profitable, that is, it's beneficial for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished into all good work. We need daily to focus on the Word of God, because it's so easy to get caught up in this life that we lose perception about what it's about. So this morning there are two simple questions. Question number one, why should we focus on the world? Why? And the second question will be, what will happen to me if I do focus on the world? So why should I do it? And what will happen to me if I do it? Let's look at the first one. Why is it so important for us to focus on the Word of God? Why is that so important? And why is it important enough that we ought to daily be doing it? Let me give you three reasons. We need to daily focus on the Word of God because of the ever-present danger of drifting. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 1, I want you to see this carefully. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Listen carefully. Drifting away from God is almost always a slow process. Drifting away from God is almost always a gradual thing. Christian people do not wake up in the morning and say, I'm just gonna plunge myself into sin. We don't normally plunge into sin. We just normally drift into it. Illustrate. My father and I and another man used to go fishing a lot when I was young. And we went to this place called Watts Bar Dam. And you rent a boat, actually oversized canoe, but you rent a boat and we go out on the lake and we just start fishing. The water is like 80 foot straight down. There's water, it's 8 foot deep. So we're fishing, and we're talking. And probably 45 minutes or an hour later, I look up, and I'm like, where are we at? We had drifted completely to the other side of the lake. When I looked up and looked around, I couldn't even see where we started from. But it was, I didn't know we had moved a foot, literally, even a foot, and I'm all the way across this lake. Listen to me. You say, well, what happened? You know what happened? We just got busy talking. We just got busy with this and that and this and that, and we looked up and we're completely on the other side. Listen, that's what happens. That's what happens in your Christian life. We don't sit down and plan to rob a 7-Eleven. We don't plan to carjack somebody, but we just get busy. Are you listening? We just get busy. We get busy at home and busy at work and busy at doing this and busy at doing that. And we begin to neglect the things of God. And when we do that, it may be a slow, gradual process. But brethren, it will be a process. We will drift from God. There is more ways to kill a cat than on choking it on buttermilk. And there are more ways for a Christian to get away from God and go back out into the world than to commit overt sin. Most of us is adrift. It's adrift. If you are not, in 2025, right here, if you are not as close to God as you have been at some time in the past, make no mistake which one of you has moved. Why is it so important to focus on the Word? Because of the ever-present danger of drifting. I'm telling you, you can be across on the other side of the lake and not know you've moved. Number two, why is it so important to daily at least give focus and acknowledgement of the Word? Why is it so important? The second reason is because of our tendency to depart from the Word, to leave the Word. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1, look at this carefully. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith. Do you see that? Now, let's deep dive into that. It says the Spirit. Look at the word Spirit. It starts with a capital letter. It's having reference to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit clearly. That is, the Spirit plainly. The Spirit expressedly says. Well, how does the Spirit say that? The Spirit does not work by direct operation on a human being in a miraculous way as it did in the first century. Today, the Spirit speaks to us through the Word. Listen, it was the Spirit of God that guided every word that's written in the Word of God. Look at the verse. The Spirit clearly, plainly teaches in the Word that in the latter times or in the last days, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, in delivering that first sermon under the Christian dispensation, quoted from the Old Testament prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2. Peter said, Joel has said that in the latter times or in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit. And then Peter, standing there on Pentecost, said, this is it. The last days began at the day of Pentecost and will continue till the Lord comes. Look at what the verse says. We're going to put it all together in a minute. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon, that is, apostatize. Notice the wording. They will abandon or apostatize from the faith. Now, the word faith is used in different ways in the Scripture. Sometimes it will talk about, like, my personal faith, or his personal faith, or our personal faith. But that's not what that's talking about. Look at the definite article in front of the word faith. It says the faith. Well, what is the faith? The faith is the Jesus Christ and the body of his teaching. The faith has reference to the entire system of Christianity and what makes it. What does that verse say? That verse says that the Spirit of God will plainly and clearly teach us through the Word of God that in the days we live in now, that some will apostatize from the system of Christianity and will leave God. Why should we focus on the Word? Because we have a tendency to leave the Word. Look. Out of sight, out of mind. And off we go. Why is it so important to focus on the Word? Because of the ever-present danger of drifting. Because of our tendency to depart from what the Word says. And the third reason it is so important that we focus on the Word is because of our inability to direct our own steps. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." How clear is that? It is not in us to direct our own steps. Listen, we need God's guidance. Amen? And if you didn't say amen, you still need it. We need the guidance of God. So here's the question. Well, how does God guide? How does he guide? Well, he doesn't guide through dreams and visions. He doesn't guide by your cat speaking to you in the middle of the night about what you ought to do. How does we, listen, we can't do this ourselves. We need God. So how then does God guide us? Here it is. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how God guides. He guides us and directs the steps of our lives through his word. God guides us through his word. I'm listening to this guy. And I'm actually flipping through channels. And I flipped it on. And he said, God told me. And I'm like, whoa. I want to know what God told him. Whoa. So then he told me. Well, he told all of us who were watching. He told me. And when he got done, I had two thoughts. Number one, I thought what you just said God told you is not in the Bible. What you just said that God told you is not in the Bible. And the second thought I had was this. God hasn't told anybody else that. God hasn't told anybody else that. Anytime a man or a woman comes up to you and says, God told me, and they proceed to tell you something that's not in the Bible, run. Why is it so important? That every day, even if it's a few minutes, and I mean a few minutes, even every day that I put some focus on this. Because we have a tendency to depart. Oh, I never leave, I never leave. To him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. If you think you can never do it, you're halfway out the door now. because of our tendency to depart from the word. Well, God said that, but you know he didn't mean that. And then our inability to direct our own steps. Well, I got this, better be careful. You may get this. So that's why. Now let's ask the second question. When we do focus on the word, what will happen? What happens to us when we focus on the word? Now I'm going to tell you three things here that's very, very important. When you focus on the word of God, you will come to understand three things. Three things. First, when you focus on the word, you will come to understand that the Bible is the basis of faith. The Bible is the basis of our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. But what does that mean? Here's what that verse means. That verse means that faith comes as a result of my exposure to the word. You got that? Faith comes to me as a result of my exposure to the word. The more I expose myself to the word of God, the more that I do that, the greater, the deeper, and the stronger my faith will become. Listen. The basis of our faith is not in our feelings. The basis of our faith is not in our reasoning. Stephen Carter, who is a professor at Yale University, it is now 70 years old, Stephen Carter said this, quote, he said, faith is dead. Reasoning is dying. But how I feel about it is going strong. And to many Christians, how they feel about the situation is more important to them than what the Bible says about the situation. When my feelings come in conflict with what the Word of God says, then I have a responsibility to change my feelings because my feelings about it are wrong. They're wrong. What happens to me if I focus on that every day? I understand that this is the basis of my faith. And I'm going to stand on this, and everything else is going to have to get to the back. Number two, listen carefully. Listen carefully. What happens when we focus on the Word of God? Number two, we will understand the language of heaven. So I don't know what that means. I'm about to show you what that means. You cannot know the language of heaven until you focus on the word. When you focus on the word, you will understand the language of heaven. Explain it to me, all right? Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost. Verse number 36. Verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. Peter said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now here is the response to the sermon, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That is, they were brought under conviction of their sins. We realize now what we have done. We've killed the Messiah. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We're sinners. This is what we've done. What should we do? Now listen carefully. Here's the question. Whenever the question of salvation is asked, if I answer with the language of heaven, what will I say? When somebody says, what shall I do? When somebody says, well, what must I do to be saved? Whenever salvation's question is asked, if I'm going to speak in the language of heaven, what am I going to answer? Well, how did Peter answer it? Look at verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Look carefully at verse number 38. Look carefully at verse number 38. In verse 38, there is a twofold command. Number one, repent. What is repent? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. It's a change of heart that leads to a change of life. When a person repents, they will start living differently. The second command in the verse, and be baptized. That is, immersed in water. That's what baptism means, immersed in water. That is the twofold command. Well, why am I obeying these two commands? As a result of obeying these two commands, there is a single purpose listed in that verse for obeying those commands. A single purpose. That you might receive the forgiveness of sin. You obey the twofold command. The reason you do that is for the purpose of receiving the forgiveness of sin. And the other thing in that verse is the blessing that's promised to those who obey those commands. You will receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that is the language of heaven. And any other answer you get to that is coming somewhere other than heaven. What happens to me if I focus on this? I'm going to understand the basis of my faith is the Word of God. People say, well, here's what I think. And they say that like it means something. It's the basis of my faith. I will understand the language of heaven. And number three, when I focus on this word, I will understand that I must do what this word says. James chapter 1 and verse 22, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Now, I'm going to tell you something you may not have been aware of. Depends on how old you are. In the late 50s and in the early 60s, the Church of Christ was known for being a Bible-toting, Bible-quoting, Bible-living people. But today, I have brethren who are fuzzy on a lot of things. they are fuzzy on even whether or not the Church of Christ is a denomination. The Church of Christ is not another denomination. They're fuzzy on what it is people must do to be saved. They're fuzzy on the guidelines of what it is that ought to take place in the public worship assembly. And brethren, here's the tragedy. The reason that so many are so fuzzy on this is because they're not focused on the Word. I seen a sign. The sign said this: he who will not read is no better than he who cannot read. Let me add a sentence to that. He who has a Bible and doesn't read it is no better off than he who doesn't have a Bible. The printing press was invented in the year 1440. Before the invention of the printing press, the common man had no access to the Bible, because the only Bibles there were Bibles that had been written out by scribes or by others who had just printed out the entire Bible, and the common man could in no way afford such a Bible. And what made matters worse then is that there was a mainstream denomination telling people, it was discouraging people from reading the Bible. Don't read it. It'll just confuse you. If you have a question, come and ask us. But when the printing press was invented, they began to print translations of the Bible. The first book ever printed on a printing press was the Bible. And they printed Bibles and they put them into the hands of the common man. And when the common man got his hands on the Bible, then the world changed. Now today, we have Bibles everywhere. There's probably not two rooms in my house where there isn't a Bible somewhere. Listen, most of us will have a Bible translation on our phone. I mean, we walk around with it 24/7. We have it today. Brother, listen. The problem isn't that people don't understand the Bible. The problem is that people don't read the Bible. This and I'm done. During the height of the Depression, there was a woman who walked into an insurance company and told them that she could no longer afford to pay the premium on her husband's life insurance policy. She was broke, nothing. So they pulled her policy, and as they were talking to her, the woman made reference to the fact that her husband had died several years ago. And they said, "Your husband has died several years ago, and you've kept paying into this whole time until right now?" And she said, "Yeah." They cut her a check for $150,000 $150,000 in the height of the Depression? She was rich. Are you listening? She was rich, but she didn't know it. Christian, you are rich. Let me tell you how rich you are. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, if you have an in Christ relationship, if you are a Christian, God has bestowed upon you every spiritual blessing he has. There is no blessing, there is no spiritual blessing that God doesn't have that is already yours. We are rich and yet we walk around like paupers. Well, this just been an awful day. It's just been awful. I'm just so discouraged and so depressed. And it's every day. Why? This is terrible. Years ago, right here in this middle aisle, about two-thirds of the way back in the middle aisle. Never forget it. This sister comes to me, and she says, Brother Fox, she said, I feel bad. I said, well, I'm sorry about that. She said, no, Brother Fox. She said, I feel bad every day. I said, now, every day? I said, there's not a day that you don't feel? Oh, I feel bad every day. I said, well, that's amazing. And she said, no, bro. She says, because even when I feel good, she said, I feel bad because I know I'm going to get to feeling bad after a while anyway. Listen, stop that. Stop. You are rich. You are rich with the only riches that will last. Because all of this and all of our stuff, this is all going up in the big bonfire on the last day. I was going to quit, but I ain't. No, I'm kidding. Listen. It is easy. You listening? It is easy to get caught up in our lives, in our world, that we begin to lose focus on what's really important. And if we keep doing that, it all will just become this blur. Don't you understand you are rich? And one of the greatest riches that God has given you is this book. And as we go through this year, we need to remember the devil. And that's what we talked about last week. But we need to remember to focus on the word. It will keep us in the arms of God, and it will keep us in the grace of God. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a New Testament Christian, you need to obey the gospel. You need to do that so that you can become an heir and a recipient of the blessings of God. If you're here this morning, subject to the invitation of Christ, may God help you to come forward right now as together we stand.